It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
What is up from New York City? The Fan and CBS Sports Network. Boomer and Geo are out. They take their one last vacation before the start of the NFL season. And so it is CeeLo and Jerry with you. Built Ford Tough Studio till 10 o'clock. We've got a surprise for you coming up at 6:20. That should be fun. And we're going positive. We're going to go positive, positive, positive to start the show. Because who wants to start a crappy Monday with a crappy baseball team or a crappy football team or a crappy basketball team or whatever other crap you can find? So we go positive. And we say good morning to one Chris Lopresti. What up, Chris?
Good morning, Jerry. Yes, all positivity. We got to have a fun week here, right? Especially for me, because next Tuesday is, as I like to call it, Radio New Year. And then I'm not heard from again until Rutgers plays its first basketball game. So let's have some fun.
Yeah, well, we will. And I'm serious when I'm talking about positivity, because while we could start with the Mets, we're going to put them off for a little while.
Okay.
Because I know sports radio, it's usually complain radio. So we could do that. But instead, I would much prefer to start with what we saw in the Bronx yesterday and what we have watched all year long and what we continue to watch. And when you see, and it's more obviously than just the back-to-back-to-back home runs, but that, you encapsulate that right there, and you look at three of what could be the best hitters we'll see in our lifetime stacked in a lineup. And man, if I don't know if you had a chance to watch on social media, even the Rocky announcers during that inning.
Yes.
And the reaction is phenomenal. Like, I think it was the Soto home run. I was like, oh no. Oh no. Oh yeah. Yeah. And then Judge with the home run, the guy in the background, uh-oh.
Yeah. It's like very understated.
Pretty much.
And
yeah.
That's gone too.
And yeah. The Yankees wind up winning a series that they very well could have lost, but they end up doing yesterday what they needed to do. They take the series from the Rockies. They have that game and a half lead. But I mean, the sky is it's so weird. The baseball season is so freaking long.
Yeah.
That you go through these ridiculous ups, these terrible lows and downs, and then the truth is always somewhere in the middle. But the story with this Yankee team continues to be they can just flat out mash. The question will be, while this is awesome, will they do it in October?
I'm glad you got to the question, because I know we're all about positivity, and yes. That was fun to watch yesterday. It's a nice sun splash Sunday afternoon in the Bronx. They're hitting home runs all over the place, but it's the Rockies. The Rockies are god-awful.
I know that. I know.
So this is, look, it's fun along, you just said, the regular season as long as it is, the marathon that
and
it is.
And enjoy it.
It's fun along the way. It beats losing or watching teams that can't score, like the Mariners, who got Scott Servais fired because they got the worst batting average in baseball. So it certainly beats that, but we've seen the MO from the Yankees. And I know it's a different construction. Soto wasn't here, and there's a couple different pieces. You know, Jazz Chisholm being back hopefully should help. And he certainly brings an energy and a life and a fire, which is great. But I've got to see it in the big moments against the better pitching staff.
You know what's amazing, though? So, like, if you think about what's coming for them in October, and there's not a team... putting the Astros aside for a second. Aside from them,
yeah,
there is not a team in Major League Baseball that would scare me in terms of the Yankees. Now, you want to tell me, well, the Phillies, I'm not really buying them. They've been very average now for about 2 months or so,
I would say. Let's get to the World Series before we start worrying about the National League teams.
I'm trying just to look at Major League Baseball in totality, because you basically play everybody now. So if I look at the National League in terms of if they got to the World Series, I really don't think, while the Padres are a nice story, the Dodgers spend the most and are always going to be difficult and tough, although they never seem to win the World Series. You can run down the list. The Phillies have been very average. The Diamondbacks have been ridiculous for the last month or so. Fine, but I still feel pretty good about with the Yankees in that scenario. You look at the American League and what they have to get through. Talk about the ups and the downs. The Astros were 10 games out in June and now have, I think it's a 7-game lead on Seattle in the AL West. Yeah. They have found it. That is the one team that if they don't get picked off, that would concern me. Other than that, to me, this is the Yankees' year. And if it's not this year, then when?
Yeah, and that's mostly been the case in these last, whatever you want to call it, the Aaron Judge era, outside of, what, the 1 year with the Red Sox, really? It's been the Astros that's been their undoing. Sure. We know all about it. Three ALCSs, except they've gone in the wrong direction. Those series have kind of gotten shorter and shorter as we've gone along. And that's where, when they say, well, we got to the ALCS, so we were, you know, one series away from getting to the Fall Classic, but you've gotten further and further away from being, I'm not going to say non-competitive in those series, but you feel like, okay, it's been more and more of a struggle, and those same issues that they've run into against Houston kind of rear their ugly head in the worst possible times, worst possible spots. Now, look, a couple years ago, I think Judge was just burnt out from the home run chase down the stretch, and hopefully that doesn't happen again. I know it's a little different right now. We still got a full month to go, but with each passing day, he hits more and more home runs. Now, all of a sudden, that 62-63 is sort of back on, you know,
but
back
65.
Into view. Well, whatever the case
Holy
may
cow.
Be, I'm just saying, like, it takes on, I think, more of a life the more success he has, because it becomes a more realistic possibility. Now, the difference here is it's its own records a couple years rather than talking
stress
about...
stress level has to be way
yeah,
down.
Yeah. So, you know, from that standpoint, hopefully he can kind of just enjoy the ride a little bit and maybe not feel the pressure and the burden of us as much as he did a couple years ago.
And what you just said is interesting, because I wonder how much the Yankee fan is enjoying the ride, because all you do hear about, and I understand it, because they're in the playoffs every year, and 2009 is now a long time ago. We're talking 15 years for the Yankees. That's an eternity.
And I think that was illustrated with the old-timers celebration
over the weekend.
Those guys are talking about how old they are now. They want to get out of bed. They don't want to pick up a bat. They want to do anything. It's like, geez.
Right. So now if you're the Yankee fan, and I know you are, it's almost as if I feel like before the season began, it was, yeah, this team looks good, but until they win a World Series, it doesn't matter. Are you at least allowing yourself to enjoy what you're watching on a day-to-day basis, knowing that the end goal is still the same and it's something that has not been accomplished or achieved now in 15 years?
I think yes and no. I think game to game, day-to-day, it beats the alternative of turning on. There have been certainly pockets of this season and in recent years where they go through these stretches and it's maddening because they can't get a hit with runners in scoring position, or they can't get a guy in from third base with less than two outs, or the lineup up and down outside of Judge is struggling. So right now it feels good because you've got Soto and Judge kind of going at the same time. Stanton is showing signs of life. Jazz comes off the IL and looks like, you watch this guy play third base right now.
You think he's been a third base guy.
Yeah. So, those are all good things. They, of course, still have their holes and their shortcomings and guys that are not having the seasons you would have expected. But, yeah, I think when you touched on it and you look around the league, it's sort of one of those weird years where there's not a huge separation amongst teams. So I'm curious, if and when we get to October and if and when the Yankees do make a deep run because of that sort of lack of firepower throughout the league, should they go to the ALCS or the World Series, will it have the same feel and the same excitement or the same satisfaction if they do get to the top of the mountain? In a vacuum, sure, but comparing it to, like you said, the team from 2009 or the teams of the 90s and the great run that they had then, that part I'm curious about, because baseball has changed so much. Certainly the construction of the Yankee roster, the lineup, just the way in which the game is played nowadays and the way it sometimes is played in October, where we don't have as much action play-to-play, inning-to-inning as we once did. That's the part for me that where, yes, I'm enjoying it, but I don't watch baseball, Major League Baseball, the same way I did in my younger years. How's that?
Yeah, but why?
Because the game It's changed. I'll give you a great example. Okay. Or maybe not a great example, but something that stood out to me yesterday. Not to bring it to the Mets, more statistical box score thing. Jose Quintana pitches yesterday, mm-hmm. right? He gets 19 outs, doesn't give up a run, mm-hmm. didn't strike out a single batter.
Yeah.
Like, we don't see that anymore. It doesn't happen.
Right.
Right. I went to the day game. What was it? Wednesday this past week, Yankees against the Guardians, the series finale. There were 16 of us, a bunch of families, mm-hmm. young kids in the stands, and they had fun, but they're more interested in, you know, they're playing in the state, looking around, they're having fun, they're horsing around until a ball's put in play, which is not that often anymore. It's just not the same. Like, I remember going to the games as a kid with my dad or my mom or both and, like, being locked in on every pitch, keeping score, excited about the little things that were happening in a game. And again, there's positives and negatives to this. I don't want to make it sound like it's a terrible, boring product. It's just very different. I don't know if that's just because I'm getting older as well. Compared to being a kid, but some of it's different.
I think our attention spans are, and that's part of the problem.
Phones.
If you watch any Major League Baseball game, or just watch the highlight packages of the games on YouTube, and you will see more times than not that I would venture to guess half the people that are in the camera shot are on their phones.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a baseball thing.
No.
I think that is a societal problem.
I see it when I ride the subway.
The addiction to the phone is insane. So our attention spans are way down. Number two, because getting people to come to the ballpark has become such an issue. Things like what goes on at Citi Field, which I think is a phenomenal stadium. I love it. To me, it's my favorite one. And I've been to a lot of them now. I think Citi Field it might be the best. That sounds crazy, but to me, I think it might be.
No, I agree with you. They do a lot of things
right
there.
Citi Field, if you want to go watch a game with kids, is the kids want to go to the batting cage. They want to throw the ball in that dunk tank that's back.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's even still there, but they've got all these things in that. When you go over the Shea Bridge in the back, it's almost as if, I mean, there were games when my kids were younger, I'd miss four innings.
Right.
Because they were on the wiffle ball field.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Credit to what they did there. It's fun. I got videos and photos from when my kids were 5, 6, 7 years old. But you know what I remember about that? Those were innings I missed that I wasn't watching, or I was watching on the screen behind me.
Yeah.
In San Francisco, I missed 3 innings because my kid was going down the stupid Coca-Cola slide for an hour.
I think when you do the sort of the one-off where you're away on vacation, you're seeing a new park and you've got young kids, certainly they're going to be.
What's the excuse for Citi Field?
Yeah, not so much.
Right, exactly. I just think our attention spans are not what they were. And while the game has changed, there's no doubt about it, I think they have changed it for the better. Stolen bases are up. You are seeing more, although the home run is still a big deal, I do feel like there's more contact in a game.
It's gotten a little better. It's nothing against the rule changes that they've made in recent years.
The pitch clock has been great.
No, I like the pitch clock. I just think, and I don't have the numbers to back this up, so like I said, maybe it's me getting old man, get off my lawn type of thing, even though I haven't hit 40 just yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like if you go to a game, there's a lot more, I'm not even going to say downtime, but time where you feel like, I've got a few seconds, I'm going to talk to somebody, I'll look something on my phone, because
the
ball may not be put in play often as it once was.
Now 10-year-old Chris Lopresti, there was no phone.
Right.
There was nothing else to look at, so you stayed locked in on the game.
That's
and while
true.
The phone has become almost part of the product, especially with, I don't know if you can gamble in these stadiums or not, I'm not even sure because I don't do that, but I mean, you feel like with the fantasy baseball, the gambling, it's almost as if that phone is now a part of the product and the day. The problem is your eyes get locked on the phone.
Yeah.
Now you're not watching
the
game.
The action. Right.
You know?
Right.
Anyhow, all I know is I agree with you that it's not enough contact. That's fine. But what the Yankees can do on a daily basis is pretty special. Now, I'll go back a couple years ago and even beyond that when I would sit here and say you can rip the pitching all you want. The fact of the matter is the Yankees didn't hit in October. I mean, that is, you want to go to the, we can go all the way back to that wonderful fall of 17 where Greggy decided to take a vacation and the Yankees were on that run and he had the cheating Astros. Here's what I'll still say about that. You can tell me all you want about the garbage can and this and that. If you don't hit, you're not going to win.
I totally agree. And that's been my issue with the Yankees in these postseasons. And it's why, while I can enjoy aspects of the long 162 game seasons, I still in the back of my mind have that question mark. Some of the names have changed, but the overall feel and dynamic for the most part, top to bottom, is similar. I had high hopes that it was going to be different this year. Soto coming in, he's had an excellent year. I was hoping Volpe would bring a little bit of a different dimension to the lineup and have a better second.
He did for a couple months.
Yeah, early on, out of the gate, he looked like, okay, hey, he made the adjustments, he made the changes, he's ready to go. It hasn't really happened. Even Verdugo out of the gate, you're like, oh, maybe they got something here. That's gone down the tank. Gleyber Torres in a walk year has not been what you'd expected him to be or what you would have hoped he would
be. Better of late, though.
Yeah, I know, to the point where they have him hitting a leadoff. I mean, look, yesterday, obviously, hits a home run, and that's, you know, four RBIs at a leadoff spot is catches your attention. But for you to look at the whole picture, season numbers, there's still a lot left to be desired there. DJ LeMahieu shot, Rizzo's missed time. I mean, so, look, I don't want to be the typical Yankee fan that complains. They're, what, 23 games over 500. Yeah. They're atop the division. They're clearly going to the playoffs. Those are all good things. It's simply me trying to look ahead and compare and contrast and say, okay, once we get to October, and granted, there's not a powerhouse top of the echelon, you know, top of the heap, upper echelon team that the Yankees are staring up at, but are those same issues going to rear their ugly head? It's an answer we're not going to have until October, but it's why I'm not willing to dive all the way in just
yet. But you know why it shouldn't? It shouldn't, because now I know, if I assume this, it's stupid of me, because with Giancarlo Stanton, he could be injured tomorrow. But if you assume just for the second that those injuries are behind him, he's healthy, you see what he's doing right now. Man, those guys back-to-back-to-back, there shouldn't be a situation where they can't put runs on the board. There just shouldn't, because you've got to pitch to a couple of them. You know, you want to, if you're going to leave it as Soto, Judge, Stanton, you have to pitch to Soto because of those two behemoths behind him.
Yeah.
And if you got Soto on base, you say, all right, well, we'll walk Judge. Okay, but if Stanton's doing what he's doing, you want to face him? Like, all of a sudden, you've got a situation that I think they envisioned when they put this together that should scare the hell out of opposing teams.
And here's the good thing for Judge, at least on paper, right? Because the one knock you can really have against Judge so far in his career has been the lack of postseason success, right? So if this is the way they're going to go, and like you said, we assume health for those big guys and that no one's going down and they're going to be there in October. If he's sandwiched by a guy in Soto who... it's a smaller sample size, but we have seen him produce in the postseason. He's won a World Series. And we know that Stanton, really, when you look at since he's come aboard, for the most part, overall, the guys he's been probably their best postseason hitter. Yeah. So you can put Judge between those two. And again, Stanton is, maybe he's not 100%, but he's healthy enough to play and the swing looks decent. I would think that bodes well and gives Judge his best opportunity to have sort of, we'll call it a breakout postseason that we haven't seen from him just yet.
Now, the question mark would be the pitching. And you know, while I know what I'm getting from Gerrit Cole when he makes the start, the problem is he's not going out there every single day. It's amazing, I'm going to say this on August 26th. You tell me what Carlos Rodon is. I don't know. Yeah. I really don't. I mean, even this season alone, I feel like you've gotten everything from Rodon this year. You've gotten the great Rodon, you've gotten the crappy Rodon, which we've seen so far in a couple of seasons, and everything in between. So if I sit there and I put him out there in game two, if that would be the case, of a playoff series, would you be stunned if I told you he gave you six innings of two-hit ball, or would you be stunned if I told you he was out after two-thirds of an inning?
Neither, and right. I think that's the enigma.
Problem.
And now we came into the season, the bar was set so low because of how disappointing last year was, that taking the good with the bad, and like you said, sort of the Jekyll and Hyde act, is we haven't focused on it as much this year as maybe we would in years past for a high-profile, expensive free agent signing, especially the fact that Cole is there, the team overall has played well, Judge having another great season, it sort of covers up some of those things. But yeah, when you look at what they brought him here to do, you want to be able to send him into game two of that series and feel very confident that he's going to give you at least an opportunity to win. Some days he does, some days he doesn't. Even the days that he does, though, I feel like it's a struggle sometimes just to get through five or six innings. There's not a lot of starts where he's just breezing through. I mean, yeah, if I go through his game log for the season, you can pick out a few. I was at a start he made against, was it the Angels in April early on? The Yankees lost that game, but he, I think, had a no-hitter into the middle innings. He was looking good. So he does have those days here and there, but more often than not, I feel like he's grinding through these starts, and it's not coming easy, but it's certainly been better. At least he's taken the ball every turn through the rotation, hasn't had a missed time, hasn't had any flare-ups with fans in the crowd or pitching coaches like he did a year ago. So from that standpoint, it's been a little bit better. But yeah, am I going to have full confidence in him pitching game two of a playoff series? No, I am not.
What's interesting as you're sitting there talking about his starts is if I look back to April, May, June, July, now we're into August and almost the end of August, at different points of the season, I would tell you Clark Schmidt was their best pitcher, and if Cole was there, he's your number two.
Mm-hmm.
At other parts of the season, I would tell you Luis Gil was on track to win the Cy Young and was their best pitcher, and when Cole comes back, he'll be the number two. There have been starts where I say, that's the Rodon that they paid all this money to, that's your number two. And as I sit here on August 26th, I don't know who their number two pitcher is.
I don't think they know who their number two pitcher is. It's sort of Cole, and it's not been vintage Cole, obviously, because he missed the chunk of the year, and while he's, I think, trending in the right direction, like, I think he's figuring out, because he's a smart veteran pitcher at this point, he's figuring out ways to get through these starts. I still don't see a guy, and this is, you know, purely just my eyes. I have no idea. I'm not trying to start any trouble. I don't see a guy that looks fully comfortable and perhaps not fully healthy. That I don't know. But, you know, his last start against the Guardians was a perfect example. He pitched, what was it, six innings of one run ball or shutout ball, five walks. Strikeouts were down, you know? So it's like he's sort of doing more pitching than he is throwing. But obviously he's going to be the guy. After that, start to start, like you said, I think with any of those guys, you just asked him about Rodon, would you be surprised in a playoff game if he pitched great or got blown up? I think that you could apply that to anyone outside of Cole right now.
Which would stun me if that happened to him.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But outside of that, Stroman, Cortez, Rodon, you want to throw Heel and Schmidt in there as well, whether one stays in the rotation, one goes to the bullpen, however they're going to figure that out, if and when everybody gets back healthy. None of those guys would I say, like, you know what, I'd bet the mortgage that they're gonna put forth a good outing tonight. I have no idea.
All right, we are just getting started. 20 after 6. When we come back, we have got Pat Boyle sitting in for CeeLo, who is sitting in for me, as we go down the depth chart. Looking forward to hearing from Pat. We've got you guys calling up, too, at some point this morning. 888-808-1019 is the number. It is the Boomer and Geo program coming on a Monday right here on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, welcome back inside Bill Ford Tub Studio. It is 6:26. It is the Boomer and Geo program. The guys will be back next Tuesday after the extended week off as we get set for another football season. We saw some, I don't even know what to make out of Saturday. These preseason games suck.
I feel like,
don't play them anymore.
Maybe this is recency bias. I feel like this year was the worst it's ever been.
Just putrid. Especially I had to locally. Sit there and watch Trey Lance throw five interceptions on Saturday afternoon. Never seen a kid who actually looked really good aside from the five interceptions. Like, he was incredible on Saturday.
That's
except
why,
for
that's
the five
why Jerry came out right after and was like, yep, he's good to go. He's on the roster.
Holy God. Anyhow, and then I don't know what we watched at MetLife Stadium. Anyhow, in for you and for me, some shirt you're wearing. That is loud.
Thank you.
Good he morning. Likes to make his presence felt.
I would say so. Yeah, he walked in. I said, what the hell is that? What's Pat?
Yeah, what's up? Well, I mean, I figured it would be on TV. Might as well wear something that pops.
Gotta make a statement.
Oh, it pops all right. This is one of the stars from our flag football game, as you remember.
Yeah, I missed out on that.
I thought you played.
No, I didn't.
Oh,
I couldn't make it. I was bummed, especially since he got all the glory after.
He did.
I feel like if he and I were in that game on opposite teams, it would have turned into like a one-on-one showdown.
I think that's very possible.
But he's got, how many, I'm 38. How old are you these days?
29.
All right, so he's basically got 29. A decade on me.
You would have taken away a lot of my targets, so I'm actually kind of glad you didn't.
That's probably true.
Look at this. I will say, the footage was ready to go.
Yes, he was a little intense in this game. That was the one thing I was told, okay. Which was fine.
Yeah,
and I didn't bother me.
I get that every time you guys talk about it, and Gio's like, yeah, Boyle, totally over the top.
I didn't say over the top.
I did hit the gritty. But I showed up there, and the first thing Boomer says, he goes, all right, Boyle, you better not screw up.
Oh, yeah.
Boomer says that, it's like, turn the switch on. Here we go.
And you did. And listen, those St. John Vianney kids turned the switch up on Boomer, too. He was running for his life.
Yeah, and the first game. Play of the game, they throw a Hail Mary on us. I'm like, all right, that's how we're doing it?
Yeah, that's how we were doing it.
And you don't want to, listen, if you're going to go one way with Boomer, it better be
agreed.
Over the top instead of the opposite and basically just acting like you don't care to be there. And I was always that way with the softball. I know you guys hated it. I loved it. Let me restate.
Don't put me in that box.
You guys hated the time.
I
heard you say it recently. The Tuesday evenings and Sleepy Hollow.
My issue was always the same. Why are we playing on a Monday and a Tuesday night up by the Tappan Zee Bridge at 7 p.m.?
Right.
Now, you want to play on Thursday night? Fine.
Yes.
Thursday nights, I don't think anybody would have a problem with Thursday nights, but the Mondays, there was literally one game. I was out, I think Al was playing third base, or maybe he was in the outfield. I don't remember. And I was out in that inning because I didn't play all that much anymore. I was just coaching first base at that time. And I was like having one of those catches with him. And I'm like, not to stress you out, but we're beyond the Tappan Zee Bridge and it's 8:15. Like, we have to be up in 6 hours and 15 minutes, and we haven't even left to go home yet.
And his anxiety started kicking.
God. And when that game ended, he bolted, as we all did.
Yeah.
That was always the issue. Monday and Tuesday night, an hour and a half from home, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Thursdays
that was the issue
fine.
For you. I think it was an issue.
And Eddie never cared.
Whitey's usually go with the flow. There's certain things that,
really
get under his skin, but right. Yeah.
So yeah. You would have been a part of that. Instead, you're a part of this now this morning. So I'm very excited to have you here today. So don't disappoint us.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Everybody,
sure.
Pat Boyle.
Just like Boomer said, don't screw it up.
Yeah. We are brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
I will tell you quickly a great don't screw it up story. So I do pregame and postgame for the Cowboys, Compass Media Networks. Okay. The first time I was asked to do a game was Bills-Patriots in Buffalo. It's got to be now 2017 or 18, I forget. So I did 11 years of Columbia football. So I'm like, I do a football game. Really looking forward to it. So Peter Kosan owns the company. The email I get in the subject line was, good luck, have fun. Then I open up the email thinking I'm going to have like this nice paragraph from him. And it was, hey, Jerry, good luck with your travel. Don't screw up the broadcast. And it was, he gave me a little smiley
short
face.
Short and sweet.
Peter.
Oh, you got the smiley face?
I did.
That's nice.
Yeah, he's great to work for. But that was one of those things I'm like, I wasn't thinking about screwing it up, and now I am.
Now it's in your head.
I put that in my head.
But you got the smiley face at the end.
I did.
It kind of softened the blow.
Right.
It did make it a little easier. That is true.
Better than the Chernoff replies we used to get, which just said, okay or K.
Pretty much.
All right.
Sounds about right.
Thank you, sir.
Anyhow, go ahead.
Aaron Judge chasing down his own record. Two more giant steps towards it yesterday in the Bronx.
Aaron Judge swings and flies it. Deep right center field. Back near the wall, it is gone again. Aaron Judge, number 51. Soto and Judge go back to back.
Emmanuel Babari, the call here on
belly,
the fan.
Belly.
Yeah, I was hoping he would go belly.
No,
belly.
He's not going to do that. Emmanuel's smarter than that.
You know what's funny, though? I actually think there would be something cool. Not every case. I would not do the names or anything like that. But some ode to John.
One tribute, okay.
In a case like that where he could have gone back to back to back in a belly to belly to belly, that would have been fun.
Yeah, I learned back to back, belly to belly from my dad growing up when I was like 6 years old. That was the first time I'd ever heard it. And Jesus.
Well, that's a little different. You're not following in John's footsteps on the broadcast. A little slightly different.
Yeah, but like you said, it could be a nice
mode. I think if someone grabbed that, that'd be kind of cool.
I'm good with one thing.
One thing. You can't start doing, all rise. I'm not saying do all that stuff, but, a back-to-back and a belly-to-belly would be fun.
Emmanuel picks one. Shackle picks one. Yeah. Ricky picks one. Well, no, yep. I think Ricky's good. Ricky's good.
No, Ricky's
by the way,
got his
one thing before, I'm sorry, Pat, before you continue. Have you noticed, Jerry, on some of these Judge home runs, so that second one yesterday, from the behind the pitcher angle, like that ball off the bat, looks like it's going to center field.
Yeah.
And it lands in the right field grand
set. Drifts.
He's basically, it's like he's hitting a power fade off the tee. Like it's, I mean,
yeah.
I know it happens sometimes where guys will hook a ball down the line, but I feel like I notice it more with Judge than anyone else on these home runs he hits. I'm like, okay, that's dead center. And next thing you know, it's, I mean, it's not
it's
even
closer
right,
to right
center field.
It's more, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yep. That is true. The camera angle, though, can throw
it's
you off.
Slightly off center, but I mean, it's not like it's different for his at bats compared to other guys. True. I don't know why. I just seem to notice it more when he puts a ball in the air that's sort of shading towards the opposite field. It I don't even know if I want to call it drifts because it gets over the wall. He like powers it out there, but it's got a lot of spin on it, obviously.
Sure
it
does.
Just gives you nightmares of your golf swing, probably.
Yeah. Exactly.
Slicing out into off
right.
the fairway.
No doubt.
Stanton followed that up with a solo blast. Soto again started the back-to-back-to-back trifecta, as Aaron Boone called it. That broke it open. Yanks beat the Rockies 10-3 to win the rubber game. That made up for the stinker they put out on Old Timers Day on Saturday. But for Judge, number 50 and 51, I don't know if you guys hate the on-pace thing.
No,
but
it's fine.
Gotta have the on-pace.
He's on pace for 63, which would break his record of 62 from 2 years ago. After the game on Yes, he reluctantly answered the curtain call.
Good or bad, you know, they always have our back. And, you know, they let us know definitely when we're not doing our job or playing the way we're supposed to. But that's what you love is being a Yankee, playing for the Yankees. And it's there's nothing like it. And, yeah, I don't like doing too many curtain calls, but I'll do it for that.
You could tell he almost seemed embarrassed to come out.
Yeah, Boone basically waved him out there.
Let's go, big fella.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, it's the second time in like a week he's referenced that, hey, they're going to let you know about it. I mean, we know that about Yankee, but he hasn't had to deal with that since the end of April, really.
I mean, I would think he has not.
It's been
other,
an insane
season. But he's also around watching other guys.
No, I get that. You're right. It's probably more about his teammates than it is him. But he referenced it in that they asked him when they asked him about the Staten Island Little League coach. And he was like, I go 0-for-1. I get booed. It's like, don't you know.
So let me ask you this. Do you think he's going over the top with it? Do you think he's kind of thinking ahead, you know, with like, oh,
the
like
fan reaction?
Yeah, the fans will let us hear when we don't play. It's almost like he's going over the top. You think he's kind of getting ready for October?
Trying to get out in front of it, set the expectations.
Right? Like, hey, you better, like, don't boo me, man. After another year of this, I don't care if I go 0-for-6 in the first two games in the playoffs. I don't want to hear.
Well, what
crap.
Was the, I don't really remember. What was the reaction in 22?
Got booed.
He did. See, I don't remember. I honestly don't remember.
Well, I remember our pal. Sean Marash booing him loudly.
Shocker. Yeah. I don't know if we want to
use that
as our bar.
No, but he tells me. So we do a BetQL, our sports betting network BetQL every Sunday morning. He tells me that he shaves his ass every couple of weeks, and he does it. His wife makes him go outside next to the shed in the backyard.
Good for her.
And that's he basically shaves it, and
no,
the hair
it's
just...
not.
The hair just blows into the wind.
What a disgusting human being.
I said, imagine the Google Maps drones, like, catching that.
By the way, I mean, some people are hairy.
Pound like, town.
I'm a hairy guy. Jerry, we got the Italian in us, right?
Yeah.
Marash, it doesn't strike me as a hairy
right,
man.
He looks like Uncle Fester.
We got to do this every week, you said?
Every 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay.
And like, credit his wife for getting him outside.
Yeah.
I understand her side of it, but if I'm him, like, hey, I'm going to the bathroom. I'm going to do this the right way.
Yeah, or in the shower at least. I mean, God forbid you're his neighbor and you happen to catch that.
Yeah, that's
shot.
An intimate moment outside.
That's scarring. Imagine if one of the little kids, I lost the ball in the wee in the bushes. Let me go. Daddy, yeah. This grown man's shaving his ass cheeks.
You know, not for nothing. I think you get arrested for that.
He could.
I think you could.
On your own property?
I actually think you could.
You can't just do that in the backyard.
CeeLo, if you're naked walking in your window, you know.
No, that's different.
No,
you're standing in the window.
I think
in your own home.
I think there is something to what he's saying.
Okay, but let me.
You can't be an exhibitionist. Right. Just say, look at me.
Okay, allow me to. Let's clear this up, though. Okay, like he lives out on Long Island. I know the houses are kind of close together. It's not like he's in an apartment building in Midtown here. Like. You know, he's got his own home and backyard.
Well, let me just be on the street corner, bro.
My point is, let's say a kid was on a swing. I don't know his setup, but let's say he. I can't believe we're saying this. He's shaving his ass behind the shed.
Come on.
And let's say the kid next door is on a swing set. And the swings are going up and down. There are ways you can look into...
If there's a clear view into the
careful.
Yard, I guess.
He's exposed.
God. When I look at Mirage, I just think of... He looks like a wet seal. There's no hair there. What are we doing?
Apparently, he's got a lot.
I think he does the arms and the legs, too. Like, it's just out of control. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Very cleanly shaved. I don't, but a lot of people
do
that.
Some I don't know with him.
I got nothing.
He's not human, so you got nothing. Must be nice.
Yes.
Yeah. One less thing to worry about. How did we get on this, by the way?
Because I saw him reply. I don't know.
Right.
Because Marash was booing Judge, which is fine. And then I saw his reply to Marash last night, said, go, don't you have your ass to shave or something?
Well, because Marash was giving him the business for promoting the fact he was going to be on the show today, whereas Marash does the same thing for his own show.
No.
So,
I mean,
get out of here with that.
Does he?
No, never. No way.
That, you know, lost in this Yankee home run circus yesterday. This was a close game in the fifth. Ryan McMahon, RBI double, made it 4-3. Marcus Stroman, I guess this is what you can expect for him most days, probably for the rest of the season. Five innings, three runs on three walks.
Yeah.
Through 97 pitches, but
he's going to keep you in a game. That's what he's going to do.
Usually,
I mean, listen, he's going to have his days, but for the most part, I think if you get five or six innings and three runs out of Marcus Stroman, he did his job.
Yep. I'll skip his clip. He basically was glazing the three guys in the middle of the lineup. But
don't skip it. Let's hear it.
It's 17 seconds.
Oh, that's too long.
Yeah.
Jerry will get bored.
Not to be lost in this game, home plate umpire Nick Marley. Did you guys see left the game with a concussion in the fifth?
That's one of the crazier things I've ever
seen. Stanton bloop single, broken bat, the barrel shattered, smashed him in the side of the head and neck.
He is so lucky the shard of the bat didn't stick in his neck.
Right.
That was crazy.
Would have been like the scene from Old School, Will Ferrell with the dart. No, nobody.
Got a dart in your neck, man. Yeah.
Jerry,
I saw that movie.
I mean, that's a classic scene.
I'm sure it was.
That's a swing and a miss for me early on. Go ahead.
I got it.
No, he was with you.
Yeah.
That delayed the game for over 10 minutes. They brought a stretcher out to stabilize his neck. Scary stuff. MLB said he's not going to work his next assigned series. No surprise there.
Okay. Yeah, it'll give him some time to recover there.
Yankees did get help on Sunday Night Baseball. Astros beating the Orioles 6-3 in Baltimore, so the lead in the AL East now back to a game and a half. Yankees at 77-54, down in D.C. now.
What is the lead in the West?
In the West?
The Astros. I'm fascinated
off the top
by this.
The Mariners have been they have started to have some life the last couple of days, but I want to say it's probably four games.
They made four and a half. They made the managerial change. Five on the loss side, as they say. They were up 10 games 2 months ago.
I know. That's why I was asking.
Man. Yeah,
and it's five in the loss column.
Yes.
I thought the Mariners could win the World Series with that pitching staff, but they can't hit.
Yeah, the pitching's been great. They
can't hit for a lick.
Well, they got Edgar Martinez there now. Maybe he'll turn things around. He's the hitting coach under Dan Wilson.
Oh, so he wasn't? They fired the hitting coach, too?
They fired the hitting coach and service. It's Dan Wilson, right?
Dan.
Former catcher. So he was working. They were both working in the organization, I believe, or Edgar was at some point. So Dan Wilson is the man, not just the interim manager. They gave him the job. And Edgar, who was once their hitting coach maybe a decade or so ago, is back now. So maybe he'll jumpstart that Seattle offense a little bit.
Yanks down in D.C. now for three games of the Nationals. So Juan Soto coming home to face his first club. Nestor Cortez on the mound tonight to face Mitchell Parker. First pitch, 6:45. Coverage here on The Fan begins at 6:05. And then on the West Coast yesterday, late afternoon, the roller coaster that is the Mets season continued. Hit a valley yesterday.
Merrill swings and hits a high, deep drive to right. He's done it again. A solo home run to win the game.
Keith Radd, WCBS 880, the final call. Oh, I guess Mets radio.
Yeah, Mets radio.
Yeah, I think Mets radio, I think is what we're going with. Yeah. We'll get used to it. That's all right. It's the first morning of it.
Yep. Jackson Merrill, who might just chase down Paul Skeens for NL Rookie of the Year, takes Edwin Diaz deep to win the game for the Padres. 3-2 the final. Mets forced to take a split of the four-game series. Diaz, after the game, who gave up his first run in his last six outings. What happened on the 2-0 hanging slider?
Yeah, I just missed my location. I was trying to throw my slider down and in to him, and I just left it in the middle.
Yeah,
that'll do it.
It's amazing.
My hemorrhoids are bothering me.
I get it. When you you look at like home run hitters, whoever they might be, so many of them are hitting just bad pitches, like just too much of the plate, right? And you fall behind 2-0. You almost can feel it coming. But
the opposite, not to go back to the Yankees, we were talking about pitches. The first Judge home run yesterday, it was 0-2.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter.
I forget it was pitching for college. And even before that, right? He threw a pitch, and I think he was like, you know, thrown out an expletive before the pitch even got to the plate, and Judge fouled it off.
He got away with it.
Next pitch, 0-2, bang, in the seats.
Yeah, he's on another level.
Mets had a 2-0 lead early in that game yesterday going into the bottom of the eighth. That's when the normally reliable Jose Buto gave up a game-tying two-run bomb to Jurickson Profar. That came after walking the nine-hitter, McCoy. Here was manager Carlos Mendoza on having to settle for a split.
The biggest takeaway, we play a really good series. That's a really good team right there, and it felt like a playoff atmosphere, playoff games, really good bullpen. We saw all of their arms today.
Jose Quintana was great in this game. 6 1/3 shutout innings, 2 walks, no strikeouts, though, surprisingly. The offense, two solo home runs. That was it. One from J.D. Martinez in the fourth, one from Mark Vientos in the seventh. Mets only had three at-bats with runners in scoring position. They went 0-for-3. And speaking of Vientos, by the way, and Mets third baseman Brett Beatty, his season most likely over now. Broke his left index finger. Yep. He's out 4 to 6 weeks.
Probably does it for him. And we'll have more on the Mets coming up at 7 o'clock because I have some thoughts for sure.
Yeah.
With that yesterday.
Absolutely.
Man, so close to being a great weekend.
Yep. And they're off today, but the grueling West Coast trip continues tomorrow when they start a series in Arizona.
The Red Hot Diamondbacks. That's right.
Hey, good time to cool them off. Good time to cool them off.
Yeah, no, I get it. All right, we'll see you next hour, Pat. Good job. Coming up, a couple of things. Maybe a warning shot to Pete Alonso. We're going to get to that. Even though we're not talking about the Mets, this is a little bit different in terms of what's coming up for him in the offseason. Something on pitching in baseball, too. We're going to get to CeeLo's vacation at some point. So we got a whole bunch for you.
Oh, wow.
CeeLo and myself in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Don't go anywhere.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo, along with Jerry Recco on The Fan.
Seven. It is CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A lot on the Yankees this first hour. I promise we're going to do more. We're going to talk about the Mets coming up at 7 o'clock. We will get into the football as well because we are not far away from the start of the NFL
Thank
season.
Thank God.
Look, you are not kidding. We kind of need it. I'm looking forward to it as well. But one thing caught my, one thing caught my eye this morning in terms of headlines. And I kind of read it, and the first person that I thought of was Pete Alonso. So I know Scott Boras represents Juan Soto, and Juan Soto is going to get, as they say, a bag of cash from somebody. And we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes because interesting theory with him and the Yankees, too. You had the bleacher creatures, you know, basically begging him to stay yesterday. Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, he's yucking it up with Judge out there. Yep.
So he's going to make his money. We know this. He's going to get a ton. The Pete Alonso one is interesting to me from this standpoint. Did you see the quote from Jordan Montgomery, who we know had a great season last year? I wanted the Mets to sign him. I thought he would have been a great fit. He's had a terrible season, and it just hasn't gone well. You had Blake Snell.
Took him a while to get going.
J.D. Martinez,
yep.
A late signing. There was one other one. Doesn't matter. Point is, they're all Boras clients. And the quote from Montgomery was, he wanted to go to the Red Sox. He had a Zoom interview and meeting with the Red Sox. This is in the story. And he thought he was going to Boston. Until, as he put it, Scott Boras butchered negotiations. I believe the quote was, he butchered it.
Wow.
So,
and he's still with him, or he's moved on?
No, he moved on.
Okay.
He moved on.
I was going to say.
So now you've got a guy like Alonso, who I think we can all agree has been fine by baseball standards for a power hitter, but for Alonso standards has been down on a contract year.
Yeah, it's not been a good year for him.
It's been, quite frankly, it's been a bad year, if you ask me. That's not a terrible year in terms of power numbers for anybody else, but when you think you are the top, you know, in the top five in power baseball, if you will, that's not a great season. And also watching him, that's part of it.
I think if you watch day-to-day and you look at the numbers CBS Sports Network's flashing right now, you know, standard back of the baseball card numbers, you'd be...
They're okay.
No, but I think... You'd be surprised, like, really? He actually has that much?
It doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, not at all. No.
So now you look at, he switched from his representation to Scott Boras.
Yeah.
And what I don't know, and I'd love to know, was there a Boras correction last year? Our team's tired of dealing with him. Because, I mean, you had a Cy Young Award winner in Blake Snell that it took until the very last minute to get a deal from the Giants, and not a deal he expected. Or wanted. I mean, I think Blake Snell thought he was going to get 5-6 years and a hell of a lot more money than he got. So Alonso goes to Boras. On top of it, doesn't have a great season. I don't know how much leverage he has.
When was the move to Boras, though? Wasn't it?
I think it was during the last offseason? No, I thought it was early this season.
Yeah? Okay.
And if it wasn't, it was in the offseason. Listen, Scott Boras has made a ton of money, so I get that for players and for himself and for his corporation, but it just seems like something's not right with Boras and his clients, at least not last offseason.
Yeah, Fleegs just tell me, I thought that was the case. It was early last October, actually.
Okay.
So it was before this whole
right.
last offseason went through, and the things that you're talking about sort of came to light. I don't know if it's that they're look, I'm sure Boris can be difficult to deal with, but it goes both ways. He obviously represents some big-time clients. So
right, and Soto, he's going to have no problem getting him a deal.
Sure, but I think even, like you mentioned, okay, Montgomery thought he was going to the Red Sox. I think Snell had some offers on the table, including the one from the Yankees, correct? But
those were short-term deals.
Yeah, but maybe not as short-term as he ended up ultimately going for.
Maybe.
So I don't know if it's more like, okay, they're tired of dealing with Boris, so they're all the owners are, you know, essentially colluding to stonewall him and his clients, or it's just his expectations for these massive deals. And I get it. Baseball teams, a lot of them make a ton of money, revenue sharing and TV contracts and all that. There's no cap. We get it. But maybe it's just a case of him maybe overestimating the market this time around.
I suppose. I mean, what would you say was the deal with J.D. Martinez? You couldn't get him offers?
He had no, was it, the actually had no offers?
I'm not saying he did or he didn't. Yeah. What I'm saying is it took J.D. Martinez until mid-March to basically sign with the Mets.
Well, that's why I wonder if it's strictly, well, there was nothing else on the table, and that was, hey, at the 11th hour, I've got to take a deal, or it was waiting to see if something, hey, okay, once we get to spring training, veteran player, I'm not going to go deal with a full month. Maybe someone gets hurt, and I kind of wait and see and assess my options. And I know it was, you know, he missed part of spring training. It wasn't like they signed him at the very tail end, and all of a sudden he, you know, debuts on opening day, so on and so forth. But I think sometimes it could, especially with veteran players, they probably have specific wants and needs, or places that they're willing to go, places that they're not willing to go. It's not always just about the money. I mean, we know that's a big part of it. But I don't know. I think it can be a year-to-year thing as well, depending on the marketplace, what teams need, who's in what financial situation. But yeah, it's definitely something interesting to watch moving forward with Boris' clients, and specifically with Alonso, because of the local connection and interest that we have here with the Mets.
If you, like 2 years ago, I would have said Alonso would have gotten a five-year deal for $150 million. Now, I have no idea what to expect.
And I think that's less to do with the Boris angle and more to do with the fact that Pete just hasn't played
for
very
sure.
Well.
But then you throw in, like, I'm trying to put it all into a bowl and figure out how you come out on the other side. You've got Boris' clients last year didn't do great.
Yeah.
He has one that this offseason for sure is going to break the bank. So that'll put him in a good light again. But you had a tough offseason last year with some premier free agents, or at least guys coming off great seasons.
Was Matt Chapman a Boris guy as well?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think Chapman was. And so now you've got Alonso, who is coming off of a less than great season. He's also not 25 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know what the market is for
him. And playing a position that is not really a premium in today's game.
Sure.
I mean, the power is a premium, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, he doesn't have the versatility that some other guys do who can hit the ball out of the ballpark. So a lot of factors working against him. So I don't know. Maybe from that standpoint, it ends up working in the Mets' favor and they get him back on more of a team-friendly deal. I don't know where Pete's head is at, what he's looking to do.
I think part of that will be, I think obviously Alonso, in my mind, is going to be put to the back burner because they're going to focus on Soto.
Sure.
Like a couple of other teams might if he doesn't end up with the Yankees. Once the Soto thing is straightened out, then my question would be, is Alonso still sitting there in February without a team? Because maybe the Mets want him back at their price. Other teams aren't going to give him the 4 or 5 years he wants. Does he want to take a two-year deal? I don't know what the market's going to be for him. Now, I know finding guys that can that are capable of hitting 50 home runs a year don't grow on trees, but he hasn't shown the capability this year to do that.
Yeah, and something else that's more of, less a Boris thing and more a baseball thing, and I don't know why it is this way. I guess because it's a non-capped league, but the offseason dragging on.
Oh, it's awful.
Or a guy, like, hopefully it won't be the case with Soto and doesn't hold everything up, but it just takes so long to get anything happening. Like, there's no action. Whereas all these other leagues.
Oh, the NFL is so
one,
much
but
more.
But all
fun
of them really now. Day one of free agency, the legal tampering periods in some of them. I mean, that clock hits and it's, you know, left and right, agreement here, multi-year deal. The money's flying left and right all over the place. And you quickly have a sense for where guys are going. Hey, what's my favorite team? What did they do? What are they going to, all of a sudden, in the snap of a finger, it's transformed. And here's what we have to look forward to next year. You know, you get that, I guess, sometimes with baseball, but usually those marquee, they're going to take, the marquee guys take their time, going to go meet with some teams. We're going to poke around a little bit. Like, I think baseball, if they could find a way, I don't know how they do it, would be a little bit better served finding a way to expedite that process somewhat.
Yeah, it's like, it just seems like everything the NFL does is done right, and everything baseball seems to do is either sideways or delayed. And that has been the case now for quite a while.
Yeah.
All right, 1 hour down. When we come back, we're going to turn our attention to the Mets. We will get to the football as well. Still a lot to do. CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And, of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo, along with Jerry Recco on The Fan.
Seven. It is CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A lot on the Yankees this first hour. I promise we're going to do more. We're going to talk about the Mets coming up at 7 o'clock. We will get into the football as well because we are not far away from the start of the NFL
Thank
season.
Thank God.
Look, you are not kidding. We kind of need it. I'm looking forward to it as well. But one thing caught my, one thing caught my eye this morning in terms of headlines. And I kind of read it, and the first person that I thought of was Pete Alonso. So I know Scott Boras represents Juan Soto, and Juan Soto is going to get, as they say, a bag of cash from somebody. And we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes, because interesting theory with him and the Yankees, too. You had the bleacher creatures, you know, basically begging him to stay yesterday. Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, he's yucking it up with Judge out there. Yep.
So he's going to make his money. We know this. He's going to get a ton. The Pete Alonso one is interesting to me from this standpoint. Did you see the quote from Jordan Montgomery, who we know had a great season last year? I wanted the Mets to sign him. I thought he would have been a great fit. He's had a terrible season, and it just hasn't gone well. You had Blake Snell.
Took him a while to get going.
J.D. Martinez,
yep.
A late signing. There was one other one. Doesn't matter. Point is, they're all Boras clients. And the quote from Montgomery was, he wanted to go to the Red Sox. He had a Zoom interview and meeting with the Red Sox. This is in the story. And he thought he was going to Boston. Until, as he put it, Scott Boras butchered negotiations. I believe the quote was, he butchered it.
Wow.
So,
and he's still with him, or he's moved on?
No, he moved on.
Okay.
He moved on.
I was going to say.
So now you've got a guy like Alonso, who I think we can all agree has been fine by baseball standards for a power hitter, but for Alonso standards has been down on a contract year.
Yeah, it's not been a good year for him.
It's been, quite frankly, it's been a bad year, if you ask me. That's not a terrible year in terms of power numbers for anybody else, but when you think you are the top, you know, in the top five in power baseball, if you will, that's not a great season. And also watching him,
yeah,
that's part of it.
I think if you watch day-to-day and you look at the numbers CBS Sports Network's flashing right now, you know, standard back of the baseball card numbers, you'd be...
They're okay.
No, but I think... You'd be surprised, like, really? He actually has that much?
It doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, not at all. No.
So now you look at, he switched from his representation to Scott Boras.
Yeah.
And what I don't know, and I'd love to know, was there a Boras correction last year? Our team's tired of dealing with him. Because, I mean, you had a Cy Young Award winner in Blake Snell that it took until the very last minute to get a deal from the Giants, and not a deal he expected. Or wanted. I mean, I think Blake Snell thought he was going to get 5-6 years and a hell of a lot more money than he got. So Alonso goes to Boras. On top of it, doesn't have a great season. I don't know how much leverage he has.
When was the move to Boras, though? Wasn't it?
That, I think it was,
It was during last offseason?
No, I thought it was early this season.
Yeah? Okay.
And if it wasn't, it was in the offseason. Listen, Scott Boras has made a ton of money, so I get that for players and for himself and for his corporation, but it just seems like something's not right with Boras and his clients, at least not last offseason.
Yeah, Fleegs just tell me, I thought that was the case. It was early last October, actually.
Okay.
So it was before this whole last offseason went through and the things that you're talking about sort of came to light. I don't know if it's that they're, look, I'm sure Boras can be difficult to deal with, but it goes both ways. He obviously represents some big time clients. So,
right. And Soto, he's going to have no problem getting him a deal.
Sure. But I think even like you mentioned, okay, Montgomery thought he was going to the Red Sox. I think Snell had some offers on the table, including the one from the Yankees, correct? But
those were short-term deals.
Yeah, but maybe not as short-term as he ended up ultimately going for.
Maybe.
So I don't know if it's more like, okay, they're tired of dealing with Boras, so all the owners are, you know, essentially colluding to stonewall him and his clients, or it's just his expectations for these massive deals. And I get it. Baseball teams, a lot of them make a ton of money, revenue sharing and TV contracts and all that. There's no cap. We get it. But maybe it's just a case of him maybe overestimating the market this time around.
I suppose. I mean, what would you say was the deal with J.D. Martinez? You couldn't get him offers?
He actually had no offers?
I'm not saying he did or he didn't. Yeah. What I'm saying is it took J.D. Martinez until mid-March to basically sign with the Mets.
Well, that's why I wonder if it's strictly, there was nothing else on the table, and that was, hey, at the 11th hour, I've got to take a deal, or it was waiting to see if something, once we get to spring training, veteran player, I'm not going to go deal with a full month. Maybe someone gets hurt and I kind of wait and see and assess my options. And I know it was, you know, he missed part of spring training. It wasn't like they signed him at the very tail end and all of a sudden he, you know, debuts on opening day, so on and so forth. But I think sometimes it could, especially with veteran players, they probably have specific wants and needs or places that they're willing to go, places that they're not willing to go. It's not always just about the money. I mean, we know that's a big part of it. But I don't know. I think it can be a year-to-year thing as well, depending on the marketplace, what teams need, who's in what financial situation. But yeah, it's definitely something interesting to watch moving forward with Boras' clients and specifically with Alonso because of the local connection and interest that we have here with the Mets.
If you, like 2 years ago, I would have said Alonso would have gotten a 5-year deal for $150 million. Now, I have no idea what to expect.
And I think that's less to do with the Boras angle and more to do with the fact that Pete just hasn't played
for
very
sure.
Well.
But then you throw in, like, I'm trying to put it all into a bowl and figure out how you come out on the other side. You've got Boras' clients last year didn't do great.
Yeah.
He has one that this offseason for sure is going to break the bank. So that'll put him in a good light again. But you had a tough offseason last year with some premier free agents, or at least guys coming off great seasons.
Was Matt Chapman a Boras guy as well?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think Chapman was. And so now you've got Alonso, who is coming off of a less than great season. He's also not 25 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know what the market is for
him. And playing a position that is not really a premium in today's game.
Sure.
I mean, the power is a premium, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, he doesn't have the versatility that some other guys do who can hit the ball out of the ballpark. So a lot of factors working against him. So I don't know. Maybe from that standpoint, it ends up working in the Mets' favor and they get him back on more of a team-friendly deal. I don't know where Pete's head is at, what he's looking to do.
I think part of that will be, I think obviously Alonso, in my mind, is going to be put to the back burner because they're going to focus on Soto.
Sure.
Like a couple of other teams might if he doesn't end up with the Yankees. Once the Soto thing is straightened out, then my question would be, is Alonso still sitting there in February without a team? Because maybe the Mets want him back at their price. Other teams aren't going to give him the 4 or 5 years he wants. Does he want to take a 2-year deal? I don't know what the market's going to be for him. Now, I know finding guys that can that are capable of hitting 50 home runs a year don't grow on trees, but he hasn't shown the capability this year to do that.
Yeah, and something else that's more of, less a Boras thing and more a baseball thing, and I don't know why it is this way. I guess because it's a non-capped league, but the offseason dragging on.
Oh, it's awful.
Or a guy, like, hopefully it won't be the case with Soto and doesn't hold everything up, but it just takes so long to get anything happening. Like, there's no action, whereas all these other leagues.
Oh, the NFL is so much more
fun. But all of them, really, now. Day one of free agency, the legal tampering periods in some of them. I mean, that clock hits and it's, you know, you left and right, agreement here, multi-year deal. The money's flying left and right all over the place. And you quickly have a sense for where guys are going. Hey, what's my favorite team? What did they do? What are they going to all of a sudden in the snap of a finger, it's transformed, and here's what we have to look forward to next year. You know, you get that, I guess, sometimes with baseball, but usually those marquee, they're going to take the marquee guys, take their time, going to go meet with some teams. We're going to poke around a little bit. Like, I think baseball, if they could find a way, I don't know how they do it, would be a little bit better served finding a way to expedite that process somewhat.
Yeah. It's like, it just seems like everything the NFL does is done right, and everything baseball seems to do is either sideways or delayed. And that has been the case now for quite a while.
Yeah.
All right, 1 hour down. When we come back, we're going to turn our attention to the Mets. We will get to the football as well. Still a lot to do. CeeLo and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.